Hello listeners and welcome to another Footnote episode of the Fantasy Animation Podcast. I'm Alex Sargent.
And I'm Chris Holliday.
Chris, today we are doing visual effects. Now, we've done special effects before.
Yep.
And we've certainly talked about lots of different kinds of effects. So this one's all you, which is great because I get to ask the difficult questions that hopefully listeners would be asking if I ask it on their behalf, I should say. I guess my first question, given that we've only got 10 minutes on this, which, oh, that's a good point. I shall start my timer. So visual effects, why are they different from special effects? Are they the same, but are they just the same name for something different? What's unique about visual effects as a category?
Okay, well, yes, we scratched the surface of this as a sort of debate, I guess. And the distinction between special and visual is largely, as we discussed then on the special effects episode, it's largely a distinction between technology, so practical versus digital. So the distinction is that special effects are understood, let's say loosely, as practical in camera effects, and digital are visual effects, which is why we get the sort of abbreviation VFX. So that's the kind of common cultural, and I think industry, though I'd like to talk a little bit about that, kind of common industry parlance around these two. And I think it's rooted, that distinction is rooted in kind of the rise of digital technologies, of course, really since the 1980s. And they're now contemporary ubiquity across kind of commercial cinema, moving image culture. There's also a little bit to this, which is around the kind of crisis narratives of the that relationship between special and visual, and with visual being the digital, let's say, I think speaks to a sort of then and now, a crisis narrative of the virtual supplanting the handmade, let's say. So an anxiety that recurs at various points in kind of cinema history, or technology, a technological narrative of cinema history. So you get it with computer animated films, you get it with motion capture a lot. And then, of course, today you get it with AI and machine learning. What happens if we are replaced? Here it kind of relates, as we said, to the distinction between in-camera effects used to create certain kinds of illusions. So miniatures, models, stop motion, your Willis O'Briens, your Harryhausens, with today. Days, you know, the rise of the computer grading suite as this kind of intermediary. So that's a very loose chronological way of thinking about it. Was something else, and now it has become something else. It's more complex than that, as I'll get into, but largely it's again that kind of practical versus digital distinction.
So let's help everyone unpack that, including myself. let's start with the industry issue.
Yeah.
So there are visual effects departments now. I mean, there's, you know, if people stay behind the credits in a Marvel movie, which they make you do because you want to wait to the bit at the end, most of your time will be taken up looking at visual effects artists these days. Were there special effects artists, or were they credited as that back in the day? Or is this not necessarily an industry term, but a kind of way of selling, let's start with that. Like, is there a distinction in the way the industry categorizes those two types of effects?
Insofar as it plays with that distinction between special effects artists that are usually these singular, you know, Stan Winston or Tom Savini or Rick Baker, who Harryhausen is a good example, these kind of pioneering.
Some of these people are stop motion technicians. Some of these people are kind of prosthetic.
Yeah, prosthetics, latex, that kind of stuff.
But there's often, let's bring in Jim Henson's Creature Workshop. It's the one I do a bit of work on. Rick Baker's prosthetic department. Willis O'Brien's stop motion. These are the special effects artists.
Yeah, and I think so. Again, with a lot of these terms, and I think we've discovered this when speaking to practitioners, there's a way that academics talk about these things and the division of labor and workflow and the industry structures, and then there's the way that they talk about their work, and those two often don't meet. And part of the kind of the politics of the podcast is trying to make those two things meet. So I did a little bit of a look through the Oscars and the shape of special effect, at what point special effects turned into visual effects, essentially. So we have, this is a very brief and haphazard timeline, but I'll give it a go. So neither special or visual effects are mentioned in 1929. The effect, the award is simply a plaque for best engineering effects. Lots to say we could say about that, but that's 1929. Given it's a plaque that's given to the best picture Oscar winner that year. 10 years later, 1938, there was a film recognized for its special for its effects work, and the award is Special Achievement Award for Special Effects. So that was given to a Paramount film called Spawn of the North, which is a kind of adventure film set in Alaska. Then 1939, you have Best Special Effects. So that's becomes a recognised category, but it wasn't really a tussle as it is today, as all the categories are today, between multiple films. It's often a kind of two films. So 1940s and 1950s, you have 1946, Blithe Spirit beats A Stolen Life. You just have those two films. 1949, you have Mighty Joe Young beating a film called Tulsa. 56, you have The Ten Commandments beating Forbidden Planet. And then, of course, 1965, Thunderball beating The Greatest Story Ever Told. And then from 1939 to 1963... it's an award for visual effects as well as audio effects. So audio effects are part of this. In 1964, it was given only for visual effects. And then in 1965, the category was changed to Best Special Visual Effects. In 1977, it's given its current name, Best Visual Effects. So it goes through these... the industry doesn't really know what to call this, but it seems like 1977, that's the moment, probably because of The Spy Who Loved Me, who knows, but that's the moment where the category changes. It loses the word special and becomes visual. Now, you could map that onto the rise in digital technology. You could say, you know, it's 5 years before Tron, it's the same year as the first Star Wars. I mean, you know, you could probably do a bit of... the reason why it changes is because of the rise of digital technology. So that's, and there are also animated films have been nominated in that category as well. Night Before Christmas, Kubo and the Two Strings, and The Lion King, which is both a live action film and also not a live action film. And then there are also hybrids that have been nominated that have also won. So Mary Poppins, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, films that we've all done on the podcast. I think today, crucially, that category, this is a very narrow way of thinking about it, but that category is getting bigger. But there's also a tension because marketing often, and we've, whether it's Tom Cruise, whether it's Christopher Nolan, whether it's Michael Bay, there is that tension between visual effects. This is a film that doesn't use any visual effects, but hey, we've nominated it for, or it's been nominated for an Oscar. So the new Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, and the whole rhetoric around this isn't, there are no digital augmentations. This is all kind of in camera. Isn't it great? Look what Tom Cruise is doing. The film also gets nominated in the Best Visual Effects, which, as we know, is a category that has given that name largely, I think, because of the rise of digital tech and people much cleverer than I talk about films that are, if you look at visual effects Oscars, you get the ones that you kind of expect, your Star Wars, Attack of the Clones, and Men in Black and stuff like that. And then you'll also get, you know, Spectre or Skyfall. And you're like, oh, so how does that, they don't seem visual effects films. So there's an interesting, this is not, it's an industry category, but it's an a really unstable industry category. So a flippant answer is the difference between special and visual is digital and practical. But actually, there's a lot of spectators and are doing a lot of assenting to what they think an effects movie should be, and the industry doesn't know how to categorize it anyway.
You're gonna have to answer this one briefly, Chris, because we're running out of time already. But yes. I think that was a really helpful kind of historical and sort of theoretical trajectory there. So I think people have understood the distinction. I think my final question would be like, so has something changed in the reception? And I'm thinking about some of the examples you gave there, right? You know, The Lion King being nominated for Best Visual Effects is a conversation we could have for hours and hours about what that means. Yep. But I like the idea of a film being, that seems very different from Mary Poppins getting nominated for special effects. And maybe that's a nice comparison because we've talked about this before on the podcast. The pleasure of, I suspect it was largely for that sequence in Mary Poppins where we have the animated dancing with animated penguins.
Yep.
The pleasure of that sequence is this kind of lack of concealment, whilst the pleasure of visual effects in The Lion King, the remake, if there is any, it's in the kind of ability to make it look live action, right? So is that another way we might distinguish between visual effects and special effects at the mode of reception, is that special effects are special, they're meant to be seen or they're meant to be noticed, whilst visual effects can often be part of the process by which a film disguises itself, right?
Yeah. Well, yes.
I'm thinking of that William Brown distinction we've used, right, between the super cinema. Special effects is Superman, but visual effects is Clark Kent. One is hiding, the other is kind of bombastically revealing itself.
Well, that's it. As we're at the end of the 10 minutes, I was going to flag William Brown's work on super cinema, Stephen Prince's work, his book Digital Visual Effects in Cinema, The Seduction of Reality. The answer to your question, I think, is in the third source that I'd give, which is Michelle's book on Still in Search of Wonder from 2002. She argues that, obviously, rhetorics of invisibility are particularly important for... Can a film like what counts as a special effect in if a film is entirely done through digital means? Can animated films have special effects? Is it about visibility? And she settles on this side of kind of a connoisseurship that spectators something like Mary Poppins, it was supposed to be noticed. It was the signature effect that doesn't necessarily go away. But what does happen is that there is an increased kind of expertise on the part of the spectator due to the way that we consume. We read about the way that things are done. We watch the special features on DVDs. We have access to certain kinds of, VFX kind of coffee table magazines. So spectators are getting clued up on the way these things are being produced. So the idea of the special doesn't quite mean the same thing in an era where everybody kind of has a loose understanding of like what green screen kind of is and stuff. So visibility is important. The illusion... The kind of seams, and I always say to my students that a lot of period dramas are the most visual effects heavy movies because they have to erase all of the signs of modernity, traffic lights, signage, double yellow lines, things like that, removal of little tweaks to skyline. So period dramas, films that you wouldn't think to be special effects heavy movies, are probably the most processed out of all of them. Visibility and Michelle's point about connoisseurship, I think, kind of goes some way to answering your question.
We're out of time, but a great introduction to the subject of visual effects. Thanks, Chris, for providing that. I'm sure listeners will appreciate that. If you like to contribute a suggestion for a future footnote episode, is there another kind of effects we've forgotten? I feel like we've been doing different types of effects.
No, but
for,
I think sound would be a really good sound way
effects.
Of, yeah,
sound
oh, effects.
God,
yeah.
Right. Okay, well, we won't do it unless someone tells us to. So if anyone out there would like us to do sound effects, give us an email and explain why, and we'll try and do 10 minutes for you. You can do that at fananimresearch, fananimresearch@gmail.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Bye.